Hello, and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of November 28th. Wow, last week of November. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and festive Melissa Hansen.
Hello.
Now that we are in the Christmas season.
But now it's okay to be Christmas season. Thanksgiving's done. Okay. I will allow it.
All right. So what's been going on with you entertainment-wise this week?
Let's see, this past weekend I got in the, you know, happy holiday mood and actually streamed and watched all three of the Millennium Trilogy.
The Millennium Trilogy?
Yeah, it's also known as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, just a little bit of dark holiday fun for you there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I watched that on Amazon. Prime members can watch all three of them for free streaming. Okay. So I finally caught up with that. I know I'm a little behind the times on that.
That's right. I've only seen the first one. I haven't seen the second two.
Yeah, I recommend watching the second two together. It's basically like a five-hour movie. The first one's some of the same characters, but different storylines. Second and third, it's really just continuation of one story. So I recommend watching them together. But they were amazing. Yeah. Some of my all-time favorite movies now. They just jumped to the top of the list.
Yeah, the first one, I was sick over the holidays last year, and I saw the first. I got caught up in a lot of movies I hadn't seen. That first one's a real kick in the teeth.
Yeah, they all are. I'm sure everybody knows, but just in case, they're based on a series of novels written by, okay, I'm going to say people's names here. They're Swedish films, and I'm going to butcher names.
So channel your Danish background, because
you think I could, but yeah, I am part Danish, and it's not helping at all. But anyhow, Stig Larsson, I'm not even going to try it with the accent, Stig Larsson, he was a journalist, investigative journalist, who obviously wrote novels in like his spare time, but he never published them. So after he died a few years ago, they found him, they ended up being published. It's this trilogy, literally about a girl with a dragon tattoo. And the other main character actually is a investigative journalist. And it's called Millennium Trilogy because he works for Millennium Magazine.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not what happens in the story autobiographical, but the characters. It's obviously the lead character is kind of based on him and the other lead, the girl. I, you know, did major research here for the podcast, which means I looked it up on Wikipedia. And they talked about there that when Stig Larsson was 15, he actually witnessed like a gang rape of this young woman. And her name was Lizbeth, which is the character's name. So it seems like he's kind of dealing with that, not being able to stop that or help that. So he kind of, you know, made his character what Lizbeth might be now. You know, very damaged, but very strong. And, you know, that the movies are really dark. We don't get the whole picture at the beginning, what happened. She obviously, she's very violent and mentally disturbed, but we realize it's from stuff that's happened to her. And unfortunately, she's still basically being abused, only now it's by the system.
Yeah.
And people in the system. And really what I take away from this movie, which the original title was Men Who Hate Women.
Well, I
which
can see that.
Basically sums it up. Yeah. but what I've taken away from this is that the majority of Swedish men are really sadist pig rapists.
Oh, God. Please send your feedback to mhanson@dvd.com.
But the vast majority of men in these movies and obviously the novels, you know, are sadist pig rapists. So there's like one or two good ones, obviously. but they're excellent movies. Very, very dark. Yes. There's scenes that will never leave my brain.
That's true.
You know, there's rape scenes. And so if that's a personal issue for you, you do not want to watch this movie. Yeah. But if it's not, and, you know, you're willing for some adult topic stuff and some darkness, and they're thrillers.
Yeah.
They're excellent movies. I really can't recommend them enough. So if you're not into, you know, reading English subtitles, you can wait and we'll see what the American remake is.
But you know, the amazing thing about that is, and I hear that from people a lot, when you get into a movie like this, you're not even, you don't even realize you're reading the subtitles.
No,
you're
not
so engrossed in the picture.
You can get them dubbed. You can watch them dubbed too. That is available on Amazon, but I that's not my kind of thing. But if you're really against reading while you're watching a movie, you can watch them dubbed. But otherwise, you know, go for the subtitles so you can hear the actual voices. And and see the amazing, amazing performances by, again, Michael Nyquist.
Nyquist.
And Noomi Rapace.
Oh, yeah.
Who is phenomenal. It's an amazing, amazing act job. Some of the, we talked about some of the dark scenes, and for her to put herself through it in front of a camera, all the props to her, but her acting's amazing. And I hate when people do this, but I'm just going to do it anyhow. What? She is the most beautiful woman. I hate when they talk about actresses' beauty instead of their talent.
Yeah.
She's amazingly talented, but she is gorgeous and has the most whipped body I have ever seen on a woman.
Yeah. You know, the other thing we've talked, you and I have talked about this before, there's something about someone who is so in tune with themselves, and it doesn't have to be physical beauty, but it's just that connection to knowing who you are and what you want to do with your life, it just kind of bursts out of you and you can't help but be attracted to it.
Right. Yeah. She is phenomenally gorgeous. I mean, I would do her in a second, man. She is hot.
Oh, yeah. It was quite a trip. Yeah. Now, I wonder, are they going to make all three? Well, it'll probably depend on how
it'll depend on how well it does. Yeah. If they make all three, the American version.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to see Noomi Rapace also this Christmas, not in the remake of this movie, but she's playing opposite Robert Downey Jr. in the new Sherlock Holmes picture.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see her in an American picture.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what I've been doing with my spare time, watching Swedish films. How about you?
I took the flip side approach. There was a bunch of stuff that I had a chance to see. And I decided to settle on My Week with Marilyn, which is the Simon Curtis picture that's getting all sorts of critical acclaim.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this.
And well-deserved. It's, I'm so leery of biopics. Sometimes they just bite off more than they can chew, and it's just, it gets to be too cumbersome. This is an interesting snapshot of her life. So here she is in the height of her popularity in the mid-50s. It's 1956. And she gets enticed to go over to England to shoot a picture with Sir Laurence Olivier called The Princess and the Showgirl.
Okay.
And this is basically a snapshot of her work on this movie through the eyes of a young British man.
Oh.
Who is a movie lover.
Okay.
A posh British young man, comes from a very well-to-do family, who connected with Sir Laurence Olivier's wife, Vivian Leigh, at a cocktail party and kind of wormed his way in to get an interview for a potential job. Well, there's no jobs available, so he decides he's going to stay, and he's going to visit their office every day until they give him something to do. So it's his earnestness that gets him in the door, and then it's his perspective. It's his involvement in the movie and with these people.
Okay, so very different kind of viewpoint looking at it.
Yeah, it is. And it's a very small movie. It's not a big, grand look at her life, but it's a very British film. It's character development. It looks at these characters, and it's a character study on who these people are and what they were going through to get this picture made. So Kenneth Branagh plays Olivier, and I don't know if I buy him as Olivier, but he is fantastic as the character that he is portraying, you know,
okay.
And perhaps that's because I only know Olivier from his later work.
Right. You know? Right. Most of us do. Yeah.
As an older gentleman, Julia Ormond plays Vivian Leigh.
Nice.
She is spot on. She's just very beautiful.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Williams takes on this role, which is a big, big risk for an actor.
Absolutely.
To play someone so iconic. And to be honest, she just kind of loses herself. You kind of, the line gets blurred between who Michelle Williams is and who Marilyn Monroe is.
Yeah, and her, and the stories come out now, she didn't break character on the set. Like, she kind of stayed as Marilyn, and which I think maybe you have to do to get so far into a character like that, and a real person. And
a real person who's so broken. Who's so broken and so damaged, so you get to see this complete spectrum from the highs of who she, this character in her mind, who Norma Jean plays, this Marilyn character, because there's at one point she talks to young Colin and says, should I be her just to entertain this crowd? And she goes off and does this Marilyn thing.
I bet that's true. I bet that's really how she thought of it.
The really dark moments where she's alone and just completely insecure about everything and paranoid. And it's really sad. I mean, you really feel for her. And this is during the time she had just married Arthur Miller, so she was 3 weeks into her marriage, and the two of them were not getting along, and he went back. He came to England with her and then went back to New York. Mm. His name is Edward Redmayne. He's been around for a long time, done a lot of things. Still very young, but he is the focal point for this picture, and he nails every second of it. Every nuanced characterization, from the insecure guy to the brash young man to being sucked into this world of Marilyn Monroe, you know. And
so how much is with Michelle Williams and Marilyn, like how much of the picture and how much is this
kid? It's the second half. So okay. The first half is his story getting involved in the movie.
Got it.
The second half is the two of their relationship. And I don't want to spoil anything because it really is a beautiful thing to watch.
Right.
But and Emma Watson from Harry Potter has a small role. And,
oh, good.
Yeah, she does a really nice job with it. But this is definitely worth seeing on any level. I don't care if you're a Marilyn Monroe fan. I don't care if you're a British film fan. This is a movie that's worth – if you love movies, this is a movie worth seeing.
Good. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. I'm glad. I'm glad you're giving it a glowing review.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's hard to find fault with this. So, but I have a ton of other stuff to watch, and we'll talk about some more next week.
Okay. Great.
So let's look at the box office of what's been happening over the holiday weekend, the extended holiday weekend.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. What do you think? Blew everything else away.
Glittering vampires whose birth causes seizures. Did you hear about
that? Yes, that's true. I did. It's a Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn did like double what anything else did pretty much. But yeah, and the other story coming out is that I guess during the birth scene, it's flashing lights and it's all shaky and stuff like that. And people are literally having seizures in movie theaters over it.
Oh, boy. Oh. But the other big movie was The Muppets.
Yeah.
Which I've heard right down the middle. You have people who love it and people who are like, this is awful.
Mixed reviews. I think it depends how you're coming at it. So,
but I think Disney and the Jim Henson Company can be very pleased that they pulled in $42 million.
Total with the long over Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah. But against Twilight.
And against actually lots of kids' movies
came out. There was a lot of stuff that opened.
Rounding out the rest of like even the top five, then we have Happy Feet 2, Arthur Christmas, Hugo, and Puss in Boots is still in the top 10. Yeah, so against a lot of kids' movies, The Muppets came out on top.
Yeah. So good.
And maybe there's a chance
that we'll get to see. You know, you and I loved Muppets Tonight, which was a very brief.
Yeah, kind of the relaunch of The Muppet Show.
In the early 90s. Late 90s, I think it was.
Keep trying to bring them back.
Yeah.
So
there's obviously still money in the franchise and people still love
them. Well, there's just love for the franchise, too.
This next week is really quiet, though.
Well, they kind of – everything came out over Thanksgiving or they're waiting till closer to Christmas and closer to the end of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah, pull out all the Oscar stuff.
Yeah.
So one thing that's coming out is Shame. Michael Fassbender and Carey Mulligan. And this has kind of made the news a little bit, people who are interested in film and the industry. It's gotten an NC-17.
Because?
MPAA. It's a story about these New Yorkers, and it's kind of character studies, but I guess the lead character, he's like a sex addict.
Oh.
So there are sex scenes in it, but it's not a porn. And NC-17 doesn't mean porn anymore, but a lot of people don't realize that.
Well, we went through that with Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams.
Exactly. It's not, no children under 17 is what it means, which is probably appropriate, but it's taken on like the X rating. And there are many theaters that won't show NC-17.
Right.
So for a movie, it's not necessarily like this is a porno, this is unsuitable to watch, but it really narrows who can view it because a lot of places you're not even able to see it because theaters won't show it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And so there's a lot of controversy over NC-17 and what really should earn it. Should it just be pornography or should it be, just because it has sex doesn't make it porn. And again, the question is who decides this?
Yeah, it's just a small group of people in the Motion Picture Association of America who do that. I mean, Jack Valenti used to be the the whipping boy because it was his deal, but he's gone now, and I don't know. I don't remember who took over his role, but yeah, they're still.
So it's a lot of like, who are you to be deciding this?
Well, and Harvey Weinstein is championed against this because they have this certain, you can only say the F word a certain number of times.
You can show this much of the bum and this much of the poop, but
ridiculous.
Not the whole this.
And it's Bible.
Yeah, they literally like measure like how big things are on screen to decide.
It's nothing to do with the content of the film. It's just about,
Right. And how it's shown. And again, you can show women being, you know, abused and slaughtered and raped, and all this torture porn, and she automatically get an R, but you show a consenting couple having sex, and oh my God, NC-17.
Yeah.
For me, that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
What else we got coming out?
The only other movie coming out this weekend is Sleeping Beauty, which has not gotten very good reviews. It's kind of a dark take on it.
What is this?
It's kind of flown under the radar. Emily Browning stars in it, and it seems like from the trailer that I saw, what little information I have, it's kind of a sex trade picture where these women are actually either voluntarily or involuntarily brought in to work for a woman, a madam, so to speak, service her clients.
Wow, so warning to parents.
Yeah.
Taking the kids to the movies this weekend, see Sleeping Beauty in the marquee. Not what you're thinking.
Probably not. Yeah, stay home and watch the Disney version.
Well, we'll have a lot more new stuff coming out to talk about in the upcoming weeks as we hit more of the Christmas and award season.
All right. So let's flip over to Verdict and take a look at what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
DVDverdict.com, upcoming DVD releases. And it looks like it's a big kind of music-y week. There's Adele.
Now she's British, right? She's British pop star.
Yeah, she's amazing. Well, I don't even know pop. Her voice just like transcends. Mm-hmm. She's one of the biggest things in music. But she has DVD and Blu-ray coming out. There's also a Beyonce one coming out.
The pregnant or not pregnant Beyonce.
Yeah, just in case she's faking it, but whatever. So
Dixie Chicks.
That's what it was. So there's also Dixie Chicks DVD coming out.
Storytellers, that's VH1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to. I don't know if they still do that. Do they still have that show?
I don't know, but that's coming out. So a bunch of music stuff coming out. The other big thing I see really quick is Smallville, the entire series.
Yeah.
So, again, big Christmas shopping. You can get somebody done with one gift there. It's listed at like $340, and Amazon has it for about $200.
That's a pretty good deal.
So you can get a deal on it. But if it's like your favorite show, then
10 full seasons at, $40 a piece?
It's a reasonable price for how much you're getting.
Right. And it was impressive. This is from a genre perspective, to have a superhero show that was on the air for 10 years. And granted, it waxed and waned in terms of its quality and popularity. But it was a big coup for both DC Comics and Warner Brothers, and kind of gave the world Tom Welling, who was...
Right. Well, thank you for that.
Well, he was just a model to start with, and now he's a director and a producer and a talented guy.
Yeah.
So... a couple other things on here that I saw and loved. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. So if you liked Reaper, which was on... Was that a WB show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever was at that point. WB, right. CW, whatever letters it was at that point.
Alan Tudyk, who was on Joss Whedon's Firefly.
Yes.
The two of them pair up to do this. Oh, and Katrina Bowden, who's on 30 Rock, which 30 Rock is also available this week.
Oh, the cute blonde one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secretary. So they team up to turn the hillbilly horror genre on its ear because it's all misperception. Mm-hmm. So these two bungling idiots who are like Abbott and Costello, these kids perceive them to be these homicidal maniacs, and it couldn't be further from the truth. So these kids wind up getting killed, but it's only from their own stupidity and their paranoid thinking that these two idiots are serial killers.
Because that's what we think now. You go in the backwoods there.
Right.
Make you squeal like a pig, and then,
so all the tropes, all the things you expect from that genre are here and just turn completely upside down.
Nice. And, that's interesting. That's a horror I might be willing to watch.
Yeah. It's certainly more geared towards Halloween rather than the holiday season, but...
But Yeah, it kind of depends on how you feel about the holidays.
Well, that's true. Another movie I saw, which I was lukewarm on, was Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd. And it's an incredible cast. Zooey Deschanel, Emily Mortimer, and Elizabeth Banks.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those indie comedies about a dysfunctional family and the brother who's kind of a moron but is lovable. Yeah, it is what it is. It's okay. There's nothing there that, you know, whether you see it or not, it's going to change your life.
All right.
A good little diversion.
So, again, not tons coming out right now. They're going to be hitting it the next few weeks.
Right.
You know, trying to get for Christmas stuff, so.
Right. Oh, one other tie-in to Dancing with the Stars. Becoming Chaz, which is the documentary of Chaz Bono, is out this week.
Yeah, we can talk about that from the opening a little bit later, too, in news. But talking about Christmas stuff coming out, TV this week, all the Christmas specials are starting. So I'll give you a quick rundown. Monday, ABC has How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and then Shrek the Halls.
Okay.
So you can see good classic Christmas animation and then new stuff, let's say. Tuesday, you want to head over to CBS, which has something for everyone, shall we call it? They're starting the evening with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
All right.
And ending the evening with Victoria's Secret Fashion Show.
Oh, brother.
So, yeah, a couple ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, how about it?
Watch with the kids, put them to bed, and then dad can take over the Let's see, Wednesday, we have on NBC, Christmas in Rockefeller Center. Which is big. They light the tree and people sing and do all that. And you have CeeLo, which I don't know what he's going to sing and if we want to hear him. But and Michael Bublé, who has a new Christmas album out. So I'm sure he'll do something off there. And then, of course, the Biebs. You got to have the Biebs.
Which everyone's been commenting on his wardrobe for this special. Looks like he got it in his mom's closet or something like that.
Well, I might tune in now just to see that. Thursday, head on back to ABC. It's CMA Country Christmas. So,
country music,
Country Music Association.
Oh, association.
But it's a special of country singers sing Christmas music. That's your thing.
Right.
Go for it on Thursday. Don't miss it. And Friday's bringing back not necessarily holiday, but NBC Family Movie Night. Different stations have done this throughout time.
Oh yeah, ABC used to do Sunday nights.
The whole family, and it's not like every Friday, but they're bringing it back. It's a new, you know, made for TV called Game of Your Life. So if you've got kids, that may be something you want to check out, something everybody can watch together.
Good. Quick rundown of what's heading to Netflix instant streaming this week. Some interesting stuff I know you'd be interested in. How I Met Your Mother, seasons 1-6.
Okay.
So if you've missed anything along the way, I know it's in syndication now, but here it is all for you. What the Bleep is available on Netflix this week.
Excellent. That's one of my favorite. It's kind of a self-help kind of documentary. It's very secret-ish.
Yeah. Right.
But looks at it in a very scientific way,
correct,
which I love. I just eat that up. So.
And it's Marlee Matlin who kind of fronts the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a story of a woman, but then they have all kinds of scientists and experts talking about and how we're all connected, you know, how you can bring the things you want into your life, how you can just be happy. How to make yourself happy.
And there's some really interesting stuff. So even if you're not into the whole new agey kind of approach to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that kind of approach.
No.
It's the other way. It's the kind of scientific way.
Some great human interest stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite films, and I just reviewed Super 8 last week, and I made mention of it in my review, is Joe Dante's Matinee, which stars John Goodman as a William Castle-type film director slash producer in the 60s. This place takes place during the Cuban Missile Crisis down in Florida. So you're right on the verge of this whole political thing and that you have this coming-of-age tale of this young boy who loves the movies and is, you know, discovering girls at the same time. It's just an absolutely beautiful film.
Nice. Because it was a bit of our country's coming-of-age.
True.
And Kennedy's coming of age.
Yep.
You know, is he going to stand up or just be the pretty little boy? So, and then, to do it with a child's coming of age. Interesting.
But people who like that kind of goofy 60 horrors genre. William Castle was that type of producer who did like Smell-O-Vision and, you know, any type of gimmick that would get people into the theater.
Right.
3D stuff was his. And,
Right.
A Steven Spielberg picture. Jaws shows up on Netflix for the first time. So
sure.
If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out. Yeah, and one other Halloween we're talking about, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, is a small independent film starring Dominic Monaghan called I Sell the Dead. About these two grave robbers in the 1700s in England.
Oh.
Very funny, very well done.
Okay.
Ron Perlman's
sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So it's funny too. Good.
Yeah. So that'll do it for Netflix.
Okay. Jump over what's on All Intellectual, except we're not going to this time. coming out in books.
Oh, please don't tell me there's any more Kardashian stuff.
No, not okay. that I know of, at all least right. for a bit. Even though, it didn't mention TV because we were talking about Happy Holiday specials, yeah. Which when Kim and Courtney take New York or whatever, except this is Chris Humphreys. This was filmed right after the wedding. That's premiering.
Oh.
Next weekend, but no books as far as I know. But you know who has books coming out?
Who?
Has a few books coming out.
Who?
Angry Birds.
What?
Yes, I said Angry Birds, and I did say a few books.
Oh my god!
Angry Birds
Merry
has
Christmas.
Big Red Doodle Book and Big Green Doodle Book, which are like coloring books.
Oh, okay.
But they're gearing them towards adults too.
You're
whatever.
Kidding me.
No, and the other Angry Birds. Bad Piggy's Egg Recipes. It's of egg recipes.
Holy crap.
So if you have any huge Angry Birds fans in your household, you can run right out and buy them a coloring book and a cookbook.
You know, I think I'm kind of proud to say that I have never played a game on my phone. So I have not. My nephew absolutely loves Angry Birds.
I'm sure he does.
I have not even touched it. So.
And music, couple things I found interesting. Big fans of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
They're actually releasing Songs of Anarchy. It's the music from the show for the first four seasons.
Oh, wow, four seasons already. Jeez.
Yeah, so that could be an interesting thing for people who are into that show. And I know we have quite a few on staff.
Yeah.
I'm big fans of that show.
Yeah.
So I might want to pick that up. And the other big thing that's coming out, I noticed, is the singles collection from Gorillaz.
Ooh, I love those guys.
It's the singles collection 2001 to 2011. It's a CD and DVD.
Okay. And
so,
the DVD, their music videos are all animated. It's the guy who did Tank Girl.
Oh, okay.
The guy who did the
animation
for that. Graphic novels.
So if you're a fan, that's nice to have them all together. And there's the intellectual portion of our show, and music.
And then should we finish it up with just entertainment news?
Entertainment news. Well, big thing for me this week, and I'm spoiler alert, but it's been a week, so if you haven't seen it, it's kind of your own problem. Dancing with the Stars, the latest season finished with a winner, J.R. Martinez.
Know who that is.
He actually was a war veteran.
Gulf War?
Iraq.
Okay.
Most recent. A few years ago, he was over there, and I'm not sure exactly what the accident was. Big accident, explosion. He was severely burnt.
Okay.
He's had, 30 surgeries and whatever. And now he's a speaker, and he actually, the star part comes in. He had a part on All My Children recently before that ended. But he's a speaker. He talks about his experiences, inspirational. And he won. He beat out Rob Kardashian and Ricky Lake.
Oh, Mark Kardashian stuff.
Mark Kardashian stuff. But it's Rob. Come on. We all like Rob. He really deserved to be in the final. And he ended up coming in second. But the funny thing, if you watched it, Rob's like earlier 20s. He's, out of college age. But kind of mid-20s, young guy. And the line everybody kept saying towards the end of the season was, he's become a man. We got to watch Rob become a man.
Oh, brother.
Quite a man. Which got.
Why did he have sex on the show? Was he a virgin? No. Had sex for the first time?
No, we've seen him do that on the other show.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it was interesting. And the other big thing, you mentioned it earlier about this season, was Chaz Bono had competed, and he made it like about halfway through.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And guess what, everyone?
What?
The world didn't implode just because children saw a trans man dancing on television.
God, the horror stories that started this season were just unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. All that controversy, like, oh my God, no, the world's going to end. We can't let children see this. And I'm sure not one single child that watched it said or thought anything.
Well, and it's too bad that Sonny has passed away, because I think he would have been right on the front line championing, because he was such an activist.
Yeah,
championing for Chaz. So.
But in my world, that was the big news.
Yeah, in terms of my entertainment news this week, Christopher Nolan gave an interview to Empire Magazine, which is kind of the British equivalent of Entertainment Weekly, and revealed some big news about the new Batman movie coming this summer. which it kind of shocked everybody because the story takes place 8 years after the last film.
Does it really?
Yeah, they did this whole flash forward where Bruce Wayne has kind of grown tired of being the hero and kind of.
Well, come on, who can blame him? Please, that's
yeah, hard. I think that what they're talking about is they want to make this an epic story, right? So they're concluding.
Right. They've said this is the last one,
right? And they want to go out big.
Nolan and Bale. Okay.
Nolan wants to go big. He goes very big.
Of course you do.
They're bringing in Tom Hardy, who plays Bane, who in the comic books was the guy who broke Batman's back and took him out. So I think they're gonna do something a little bit different with the character here. But it's supposed to be huge, and it's supposed to be extremely dark. Because if the first two movies weren't dark enough, this one's supposed to be even darker.
All right. So, sounds like a Swedish film. Come on.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about it because the pictures, I mean, everywhere you saw, there were set photos of, like, Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so cheesy. But
you got to have faith. Got to have faith in Nolan. Come on.
Trust him that they know what they're doing and that they're going to put on a hell of a show. So
I'm sure they will. Okay.
And the trailer is playing in front. This is another thing. Maybe it's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's a cross-studio trailer because normally when you open a movie, you put your trailers for your, you know, the studio's
right. It's all the same studio.
But in this case, they're putting it in front of other studios' movies.
All right.
That's a big thing. And And it's, people are looking forward to, because Nolan's known for his trailers and how he just gives just enough to get people interested.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't give much away. So we will see within the next couple of weeks what that's going to be. Anything else?
I think that'll just about do it for me.
Okay.
Just do the typical, go ahead, send us feedback. I'm at mhansen@dvdverdict.com.
And mstaily@dvdverdict.com.
Yeah, and if you guys have any suggestions for sign-off lines for me, because I'm going to have to go back to stealing stuff, and I think I may steal Jerry Springer next, so please send me things. But this week, I actually do have a suggestion.
Oh.
So I didn't have to go steal it or make it up. It was given to me. Luis from Illinois, his suggestion for our little sign-off line is, if you didn't know about it before, we suggest you dock it.